free. Okay, there's so many things that we as Christians, we're just learning. We're growing in this relationship that we have with our Savior. And this morning, I hope to help you, maybe even launch you a little bit further. Okay, something that helped to let go of some understanding or lack of understanding. And so we put it all together and it's like, wow, I never thought of that. And those moments really help to launch us forward in our faith where we can take a big leap into the kingdom of God and understand more fully what He has called us to do. But let's start with some prayer this morning. God, we are yielded vessels. We come before You as just completely and totally yielded, Father. We have worshipped You with our hearts and our minds and our bodies, Lord. We have set You on a pedestal of our life, Lord, saying You are God, You are King, You are our Savior, You are wonderful. And hereby we yield ourselves to You and all that You want to give us through Your Word. Father, I pray that Your Scriptures penetrate deep into hearts this morning. I pray You use my voice and these words to just encourage us in our walk with You and enlighten us and show us things about You that maybe we didn't understand or things about ourselves we didn't understand, things that will help us in this relationship that we have with You, Lord. We praise Your holy name. We worship You. It's in Jesus' name that we say, Amen. Amen. So let's talk about something that will empower you to do what God has called you to do. Okay, there's so many, I mean, it's just a common message in the body of Christ to find out what God wants you to do. Okay, because there's different things. You know, if you have somebody doing something that they're not called to do, it can lead to disaster, even in our own life. There's times where we get caught up doing stuff that we're really not meant to do, and it just doesn't go over that well. So let's talk about things that will empower us to do what we want to do. Something that will, I believe, eliminate some frustration out of your Christian walk. Okay, something that will help you in your life to free you up so that you can enjoy the fullness of the blessing, the fullness of God. Okay, let's start. I think I got 4 points today, and let's start. I'll put number one up there right now. Number one, okay, this would be a message to Christians, obviously, but something happened when you got born again. Last week, we shared the gospel. We had the presentation of the gospel message. I asked who would like to receive of this love and grace of Jesus, and people raised their hands. I believe you were born again right then and there, if you were not already. Okay, some were just reaffirming, yes, I received that love, but others were saying, I truly need this relationship with Christ. And I believe and I know that's how it happens. You get born again, you commit your life to God. Something happened when you got born again. Okay, and I want to explain some of this morning, and then we'll get pretty deep because I want you to show where we're going. Let's look at a scripture in John chapter 3. Many of you will recognize it when we get there. But John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says that there was a man of the Pharisees, okay, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, But how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Okay, now being born again, or born of the Spirit, okay, that's a capital S there. It's born of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it means that you became new. Okay, that's babies come out, they're not old, right? They're new. Okay, they're brand new. Okay, that's what it means to be reborn or born into the Spirit. You are born again and you became new. Okay, that means that something changed inside of you at that very moment. Okay, and your capacity to handle life and the means by which you handle life all changed at that moment. Something happened. Now, a lot of Christians don't understand what happened. Okay, they don't understand how we are made up as Christians, and I'm going to explain this. They know this much. They know that, okay, yeah, you must be born again. Okay, something changed when I was born again. They know that much. Something happened. I don't feel the same inside. I think a little different. But then they try to go through life, and it seems like they still struggle with the same things, and they still have the same challenges that they did the day before, or the month before, or the year before. Okay, and they know that something happened, but it doesn't seem like anything happened. And so they get frustrated. Okay, some even backslide from that. They fail to keep going forward with their faith. Okay, the cares and pleasures of this life, they get choked out, or you know, the seed just doesn't blossom. It grows, but then it withers, or the things that Jesus talked about with the sower and the seed. So today I want to explain something that will help you to move ahead. Okay, something that will help you to get further on down the road with your walk than just knowing something happened. Okay, now many of you were born again, maybe some not even till later in life. Okay, and you can probably recall a life before and a life after that experience. I see a couple of heads nodding. Okay, how many of you though, this is a real question, how many of you, when you were born again, you had this experience, you raised your hand, you went to the front, you did an altar call, you said, I believe in Jesus. How many of you saw your life completely, drastically change overnight? Okay, we got a few. But let me ask you this. Okay, you know that something inside of you changed that day. Everybody, I mean, we could say that. Yep, I know something changed. But a lot of the outside, your real life experience may not have looked much different the day after you got saved. Let's look at a scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us this. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, how many things became new? All things became new. So that's the truth, right? That's God's word. That's the truth. But I'll ask you this. Why didn't my entire life change when I got born again? I was an addict before I got saved. And I was still an addict the day after I got saved. Okay? I had long hair. I could reach up and touch it behind my back. It was pretty long hair. I have tattoo on my back. I had holes in my ears, earrings, you know, both ears, all that stuff. All that before I came to Jesus. And all that was still there after I gave my life to Jesus. So how does that work? All things became new, but it wasn't all new. My life looked on the outside just like it did the day before. And the truth is that my personality didn't change that much either. Not overnight. Okay, I'd say I'm probably considerably different than that day. But it didn't change overnight. Okay, I was into pretty heavy stuff. Heavy metal, rock music, alternative rock. And the first CD that I bought, somebody had shared some stuff with me, some Christian stuff. They knew I was into heavy metal, and they had shared Petra with me. If any of you are old Christian folks, you can remember Petra. Okay? And they thought, Gary's into this heavy metal stuff, he'll probably like Petra. And I did. I loved Petra. I mean, it was like the hard rock Christian music, only without the demonic influence, right? It was better for you. Okay? They're singing about Jesus and glorifying God. So that part of me, okay, my body was the same as it was the day before, and my personality really was pretty close to the same as it was the day before. So what changed when I got born again? Okay, well, when you got born again, Jesus says that you were, quote, born of the Spirit, capital S. after the conversation that Nicodemus had and he was having with Jesus, okay, about how a man gets born again, he's telling Nicodemus this, behold, you must be born again. He says very plainly, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Or you could say, that which is born of the Spirit is now spiritual. Okay, that which is flesh is still flesh. Okay, in other words, that which is born of the physical realm, okay, we're born once, right? That which is born of the physical is physical. But that which is born of the Holy Spirit is spirit or spiritual. Okay, Jesus says you were born of the Spirit. Okay, the second part of this, number two. It is your spirit that was instantly born again. Okay? You'll see where we're going with this. Your spirit totally changed at salvation. When you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, your spirit endured an instant and complete transformation. Okay? The rest of you, however, must acknowledge what has happened and renew your mind, renew your thinking. Okay, the rest of your spirit is born again, but I'm getting to the body and soul part. That stuff still needs a little bit of adapting yet. Okay, you acknowledge that when you're born again, you acknowledge Jesus Christ is in me. Okay, you acknowledge that. You are now filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you renew your mind, and the Bible says we renew our mind with the Word of God so that we can think and then act like the new spiritual you that was created when you were born again. Something started, but it started in your spirit, and it has to get to the outside. Okay, I want to show you how this works. It starts with how we are made, how we as human beings are put together by our Creator. Let's go back to the beginning and see what God had in mind. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says, and God said, okay, this is God's plan, right? God said, let us make man in our image. Notice the our, it's not my. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay, so we are clearly made in the image of God. Okay, after his fashion, so that we are in similar fashion as he. Now think about this. God is three in one. Okay, he's God the Father, he is God the Son, and he's God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. We call him the Trinity often. Okay, he is a triune God, three parts. Now, under the Old Testament, the before Jesus stuff in your Bible, we read about the temple of God, okay, the dwelling place of God. Okay, that temple was also made of three distinct parts. Okay, in the temple of God, there was the outer court, okay, and then there was the inner court, okay, that's the table of showbread and the lampstand, and some of that stuff was in the outer court. Okay, and then in the deepest part of the temple, all the way in a very uniform, it was a perfect cube. Had a huge curtain that blocked it off. And in that deepest part of the temple was the Holy of Holies. That was the presence of God. Okay. Now there you could probably sense the presence in the outer court and the inner court of that. They called it the holy place. But when you got to the Holy of Holies, that was the presence of God. Okay, now under the new covenant, here comes Jesus. Change the covenant. Under the new covenant, we as human beings are referred to as the temple of God. Okay, we just described that God's made of three parts, the temple's made of three parts, and now you get to human beings and we are described as the temple. Okay, let's look at a couple verses. 1 Corinthians 3:16. He said, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God," capital S, "the Spirit of God lives in you as a Christian." Okay, again, 1 Corinthians 6:19. He says what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is given you, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own." Now he goes on to say, "You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 2 Corinthians 6:16, again, it says, "And what agreement has the temple of God," okay, speaking of us, "with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Okay, so that gets us to number three. We, as the temple of God, are made up of three parts. We are a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay, it's like the body, the outer court. Okay, the soul is sort of that inner court. There's some, you'll be able to sense some presence of God there. But you get to the Holy of Holies, or that innermost part, that is your spirit. Okay, God dwells in your spirit. Okay, in the Holy of Holies of you. As the Apostle Paul closed out his first letter, he was writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. He says this, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so now let's talk about those three parts just a minute. Let's start with the spirit. Okay, spirit, soul, and body. Start with your spirit. Your spirit is totally changed. Okay, when you said yes, Jesus, you got totally changed in your spirit. Everything you will ever need for the Christian life is already present inside of you in its entirety in your spirit. God cannot be any more in God, right? He is in you and He is in your spirit. At this very moment, your born-again spirit is as complete and perfect as it will ever be throughout all of eternity. Your spirit cannot get any more saved. It cannot get any more right with God. It cannot get any more perfect. Okay, you became a spiritual being, and now you have the capacity to be perfectly in line with God and His will and His ways. Everything you need has been given to you. Okay, scripture in different places, all things that pertain unto life and godliness are given unto you. We already have that. Now your soul, that second part, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Okay, your soul is your attitude. Okay, it's your personality. Okay, grab hold of this. Your soul is your attitude and personality. Your soul is where you experience things like anger, okay, or love, compassion. Your soul is what puts your body in motion to act in certain ways. I feel sad, I cry. I feel angry, I punch, whatever. Okay? Your soul has a big part to play in that. Your soul is what puts your body into motion to act in certain ways, to say certain things, and to express what you think or feel through your body. Okay, your mind, will, and emotions, that's where all that comes from. It is making your body do stuff. I want to lift my hand and praise, I lift my hand and praise. My brain told it to do that. Okay, my mind, will, and emotions. I praise God because I love God. I want to do that, therefore I do it. Okay, now our soul, or our mind, will, and emotions, are cleansed and renewed by the Word of God. Okay, as you read the Word of God, as you hear it, Okay, you hear it read or preached. God uses it to shape your personality. Okay, to guide and shape your attitudes, your habits, your outward life. Okay, it is slowly transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, you are transformed as the Word of God gets in us. We begin to see the truths of God's Word. This is who God says I am now as a new creation. Okay, and it begins to transform our life on the outside. Okay, it starts by going in. We have to read that stuff. And slowly, we are transformed to be more like your Savior. Okay, now, I told you I had long hair and tattoos and all that stuff when I got saved. Well, some of that stuff went away. Some of it not so much. The long hair I kept because I kind of figured Jesus had long hair, right? So I added to it, right? I grew a beard like Trevor's got over there, only not quite that long. So imagine a guy with big, long, blonde hair and a big beard like that. I got called a Jesus freak a lot, okay? It was something in my mind was, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, I want to be like Jesus. I don't care if it's, you know, if I think that's what he looks like, then that was what I wanted to do too. It started to transform. Now, it's not the best example of how to be transformed to be like Jesus, but you get the idea. By reading the Word of God, by hearing it preached, by thinking I want to be more like Jesus, I started becoming more like Jesus. Some of this stuff started falling away, the addictions and things. I'm like going to my pastor saying, I don't want this anymore. I get rid of this. And he helped me. And we did. Okay, some of the stuff fell away and started not wanting to go places that were dark and had bad things anymore. I started wanting to go to church more. Things started changing. And pretty soon my life started growing and adapting. And next thing you know, I shaved my beard and cut my hair. And I still look like Jesus, right? Because it was coming from the inside. Okay, it was more Christ-likeness was coming through my life. Okay, that's why reading and understanding your Bible is critical as a believer. Okay, we can't get there without the Word of God. You got to have it. It's what brings conviction. It's what brings hope. It's what brings encouragement. It's what teaches. Okay, we got to have the Word of God as a believer. But being renewed by the Bible and having it renew my thinking, that is also why the outward things in my life didn't change overnight. You can't take it in. I kid you not, and I've told this before. I used to sleep with my Bible like this on my chest just because I wanted to absorb what was in it. I literally was that hungry for God. I just, change me, God. It doesn't work, but you can try it. Okay? But I'm telling you, it doesn't quite work that way. You have to read it and actually take it in. But you can't do that in a minute. You can't do it overnight. You can obsess about it. I got obsessed about the Word of God. Okay, I listened to it all day long and earbuds and the stuff. I still do it to this day. I love it. But knowing that it's the Word of God that changes you, that explains why the outward stuff didn't change overnight. Okay, my spirit was brand new. Okay, it was new. But the rest of me had to be transformed by reading my Bible. Okay, by going to church and attending Bible studies and hearing the Word of God taught, hearing it preached, okay, engaging in praise and worship, finding like-minded or other believers that I could have Christian fellowship with. Okay, that all took some time. Okay, the crowd that I ran with when I got saved was not going to get me there. And it took time for those relationships to start breaking up and things started happening and going in other directions. Those same people I hung out with, the same guys that kicked my motorcycle over, that bashed the windows out of my car, that called me names. Okay, that's the same group. That wasn't going to get me any further with Jesus hanging out with them. I had to part ways. Okay, and God began to separate. Okay, and there was some conviction, I'll say it on their part, and then persecution on my part. They persecuted me because of that. Not wanting to be with them anymore. I'm okay with that. I'm kind of glad I did. I don't know where you're at. The Word of God is what helps us to determine what is of God and what is not of God. Okay? You have to have the Word. It shapes us and it guides us into the truth of who we are now as a Christian. Okay? This is changing this part up here between our ears. Okay? Your spirit's already there. Your spirit actually knows the Bible heart to heart by heart. Okay? It's what's up here that's got to learn it, that needs to be renewed. Okay, look at a scripture in Hebrews 4:12. It tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Okay, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is what allows us to distinguish between our soul and our spirit. Because you know the spirit's speaking to you. He's speaking right now. But so is your soul. How do you know what's of God and what is of your flesh? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Okay, it helps us to discern what is of God and what is not. Our spirit is totally changed already. But as we begin to see and acknowledge, okay, and adhere to the truths of who we are now in Christ, our soul is transformed into a temple that is fit for God to reside in. Okay, we're cleaning house, basically. Now that's our soul. A third part of that is your body. Okay, our body is simply the fleshly part that houses the soul and the spirit. Okay, if you think about it, your body really isn't in control of anything. Okay, it simply goes along with the flow of what it sees, tastes, hears, smells, feels, unless it's otherwise influenced by the soul. Okay, now you're thinking, oh man, my stomach growls when I get hungry. That makes me want to go eat. The stomach growling is a physical response. It is neither of God or not of God. It is a physical response, something that God built in. Okay, it's gases moving around your stomach. You can find out all the science of it, whatever it is. Some of you are a lot smarter than me, so I won't even try to explain that. But your stomach growls, and then what does your brain say? I must be hungry. And your soul tells your body to walk to the refrigerator to grab a slice of pizza, whatever you got. Okay, your body is not in control. Okay, our soul dominates the body. Okay, no matter what, the soul is going to dominate the body. Whether or not it is our spirit that is dominating is what we're heading towards. Okay, your new spirit, along with your soul and your body, okay, all three parts, they work together to make up who you are today. But each of those parts has a different role. Okay, we serve God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They all serve different roles in the kingdom of God, or as God. Okay, I'm a husband, a father, and a son. Okay, I serve three roles. They're all different. I don't talk to my dad the same way I talk to my boys, right? Okay, you have a different role that you play. Okay, your body, soul, and spirit have different roles. If you suppress the spirit, okay, try to keep the spiritual stuff at bay, that God has made you new in your spirit, and you suppress the spirit that is in perfect harmony with God. Okay, your spirit is in perfect tune with God. It hears, knows, understands perfectly. If you do that, and you allow your soul to think loudly, okay, you allow your soul to speak loudly and to dominate in your life, then your body will begin to agree with your soul, and pretty soon you're doing stuff that is not healthy for you. And you'll end up being a very carnal Christian. Okay? Remember the whole, I guess it'd be majority rules, right? Okay, if there's three parts and your body is just going along for the ride, but your soul all of a sudden starts telling your body, I want to do the wrong thing, guess what? Two against one. You've got a battle going on inside now, and this is probably going to win. Okay? But it's when we take this soul part and we move it over here by the spirit, then guess what? It's two against the body. And you can tell yourself what to do and your body will do it. Okay, that's getting pretty deep. I don't have time to go into all that today. If you don't let the spirit be the dominant force in your life, then you'll end up giving in to those carnal appetites of the flesh. Okay, you'll end up stumbling often, in other words. That is your soul. It's getting you in trouble. Your soul will do whatever feels good. Okay, that's the humanistic teaching that's out right now. It is do what feels good, do what makes you happy. Okay, that is 100% trying to get your flesh to do what your flesh wants to do. Okay, it feels good for a little bit. I'll just tell you the end result is not healthy. Living from your soulish realm is at the root of carnality. Carnal Christians, it's because they're listening to their soul more than they're listening to the spirit. People might not even be able to tell you're a Christian when you let the soul take the lead all the time. Okay, you'll act just like the world, because the world's in the same boat. They're being influenced to let their soul lead. But let me show you something. Let me explain how you get to be spirit-led instead of soul-led. Okay, it's not too hard. There's three parts. Your body, your soul, and the spirit. They're all connected. Okay, but in order for what is deep in your spirit to be released through your body and become your reality, it has to flow through your soul. I have a picture for you I think will help explain it. Body, soul, and spirit. The outer circle is obviously your body. Okay, that is what people see on the outside. Okay, that's what people can touch. That's what you touch things with. It is on the outside of you. Okay, it is the part that you can see and feel with. Okay, then you have an inner part that's called your soul. The soul can't be seen, but it can be felt. I can't see my soul, but I can feel my soul. I can feel the anger, I can feel love, I can feel compassion. I can feel what my soul is doing. Take note in this picture how the body and the spirit are both touching the soul. One on one side of it, one on the other, right? They're both touching the soul. Your spirit is the innermost part of you, even though it is the center of you, it's your core, it still can't be seen. Okay, it can't be felt by you. Other people may sense your spirit, but they're not going to be able, you won't be able to feel or know your own spirit. Your spirit is made up of God. Okay, many people today think that their soul, they get that far in, and they think their soul is the deepest part of their being, and they function as if that is who they are. Okay, the way I think, you know, I think and feel stuff, and so that's who I am. Okay, things that make me happy, that's who I am. This makes me happy, therefore that must be who I am. That is not accurate thinking. That negative attitude, okay, or that harsh personality, okay, that abruptness, okay, whatever it is not really who you are at your core. God made you unique. You have a unique personality, but He also made you in His image. Right? God is not crass. He is not foul. He is not depressed. He is not obnoxious. He is not addicted. He is none of the sort. Okay, at your core is the Holy Spirit of God that's connected with you, made you so you're perfect with God, and that is not any of those negative things. If you notice how your spirit, though, is completely surrounded by your soul, okay? Now, what your spirit wants your body to say, okay, what your spirit wants your body to do, has to pass through your soul first. Okay, that's why your attitude is so important. If you want to just be you, okay, you will let your soul dominate, and it will instruct your body to do this and to say that, and it will not be influenced by the Christ-likeness of your spirit. Okay, your spirit is born again, right? We established that. Jesus said that in the beginning. Think of it like this. Okay, out on our ranch, we have water wells, right? Everybody awake this morning? I feel like I'm going a little bit long. Okay, we have water wells, a couple of them, one for the cattle and one for the house. Okay, and deep down inside of that well is the water, right? Way down in there, and down at the bottom of that well, it has a well casing, you know, and way down in the bottom is the pump. That pump, when you flip the switch or turn the faucet on or whatever, it pumps up through that pipe all the way to the surface, and when it gets to the surface, there's usually, like our outdoor one has spigots, If I say a spigot, you know what that is? Like a garden hose, you know, you turn the little handle and it comes out, right? There we go. Can't see the top of it very well, but it's there. You know what a spigot is. If we turn that pump on and it forces that water up and it gets to that spigot and then it goes through the garden hose and it gets to the sprinkler and you know, waters the lawn, it's all working perfectly if we turn the spigot on. I can flip the switch, that pump can shove that water up to the top and it just stays there behind the spigot. It will not, cannot come through the spigot unless you open it up. The pump is the Holy Spirit. He is pumping all the time the water of life. The hose in the sprinkler is like your body. In our place, a lot of times in the summertime, Margie takes care of a lot of our watering. She's out there dragging the hoses around, right? Dragging the sprinkler, pulling it over here and going to water this section of the lawn. And then she's going to drag it over here and water this section of the lawn. Okay, it's on the big long hose. That hose and sprinkler is like the body. Margie tells it where to go. Margie makes it move. Can't move on its own. The spigot is like your soul. The water has to pass through the spigot to get to the body, to get to the sprinkler. Okay? If you do not turn the spigot on, the pump cannot spray water out on the lawn. It can't do what it was designed to do. If you just barely turn that spigot on, it'll let a little trickle through. Okay, it'll let a little bit of water squirt out the other end. But if you open that valve all the way up, it is going to push out that sprinkler in a full spray, and it's going to make the fun sound, and it's going to do all that stuff that a sprinkler does, and it will accomplish what the objective is, which is watering the lawn. Okay, number four, got to close this out. The Christian life is in the Spirit. If you want the life that God wants for you, that life is found in the Spirit. Depending on how open the spigot is, okay, depending on how freely through your soul the Spirit can flow, that flow of life could be just a trickle, okay, it could be a small stream, or it could be a powerhouse of life flowing through you. Okay, you open the spigot. Remember, because you are born of the Spirit, the Bible tells us that you have the same power in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The most fantastic moment of history of all time ever, now, could ever be, was Jesus raising from the dead. That power that made that happen resides in you and me. That's the Spirit that we received. Okay, it tells us that. The Bible does. Romans 8, 10 and 11. It says, and if Christ be in you, okay, that's me, right? Say that's me if it's you. Okay. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, which Jesus gave us. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Okay? The way you get your body to do what God wants your body to do is from the Spirit. Okay? That Spirit has enough power to do that, to get you to do the right things. Okay? But you got to open the spigot. Okay, you got to let it go through your brain and say, Jesus Christ is in me, deep in my core, and I want to let that out. My brain says that. My body says, I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be nice to people. I'm going to fellowship. I'm going to love one another as Christ loved me. Okay? Your brain starts saying all this stuff, and pretty soon it starts coming through your life. Now you're treating people better. Now you're engaging in fellowship and with other Christians. Now you're blessing people financially. You're loving on people that don't seem lovable. You're doing all that stuff because it's deep in you. That's the Spirit of God rising up, and your brain is saying, it's okay to go with this, it's okay to go with this. You keep telling yourself, I'm going with the Spirit, I'm going with the Spirit, Spirit's saying to do this. And next thing you know, you're doing those things. Okay, that's what happens in your life. Okay, you get saved. Something happened when you got saved. I'm telling you, that Spirit is now in you. It's like this well of water just waiting to come out. And you got to start releasing it. You got to start letting that out. Okay, some people live their whole Christian life with a full well. Okay, the water of life is just waiting to come out. But they never yield themselves to opening that valve and saying, it's okay. I want to go with what's in the well. This is good stuff. Okay, if you keep your soul closed, you can keep it closed to the truth. You can keep it closed to the purity, the holiness, the righteousness. You can keep it closed to the power that's inside of you, but you won't ever experience that life that God intended for you. I'm telling you, the key is opening that spigot. It's getting your soul in agreement with what's on the inside. Okay, all that spiritual reality that's in you can just stay locked up unless you let it out. Okay, you let the Word of God start renewing your mind. You start thinking different. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am blessed going in and coming out. I am encompassed about with a circle, a favor, shield of favor. Okay? You start learning where that stuff is at. It's inside of you. Okay? You can still experience things like depression and anger and bitterness and guilt, all while possessing just the opposite in your spirit. You've got joy, you've got peace, you've got forgiveness, you've got love in your spirit. You get to decide what you want to experience. Okay, since this applies to every area of your life, you can see how important it is to get your soul on the right track. To get it to join over, right? To get it to join over with the spirit instead of with the body. Okay, when your soul agrees with your spirit, the life of God in you will begin to manifest itself through your physical body. Okay, that's when you will experience healing and deliverance and anointing and victory and power and joy and all those things. If you stop being dominated by what you can see and feel, seek to be led by the Spirit which is inside. Okay, you learn what the Spirit is through the Word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, that's where we get it. The more you read it, the more you get it in you, the more it's going to transform and you'll be able to sense your soul is changing. Because that's where this change has got to take place, so you'll see it on the outside. Okay, you renew your mind. And it begins to release the Spirit. Okay, the more that you acknowledge that God is in you, the more you're going to see your need to just release Him to flow through your life. Excuse me, anybody see that? That was big. The Christian life isn't a process about trying to get something from God. God, change my life. God, do this. God, change, make me better. It's not about that. He's already given you Himself. Behold, I give you my Spirit. And He planted that inside of you when you said, I do. You said, I receive Jesus. Okay? You've got His Spirit within you. Okay? It is now a process of just renewing your thoughts, renewing your mind, okay, and learning to release what you've already received. You are one-third Holy Ghost. Okay? That's a pretty big percentage in my mind. That's 33.5%, right? 33.3% at least. That means I got a pretty good start on getting this done. All I got to do is learn to let that dominate. Okay, my body's kind of out of the picture. That means it's only 33 against 33. I can let the Spirit overtake my soul. Okay, God's more powerful. He made this stuff, right? So I'm going to yield to Him and let the Holy Spirit lead. Okay, let Him take that lead. I'm going to release Him. Okay, and I pray for that for each one of you as well. Let's do it this morning. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I praise You. I thank You that we have yielded our life to You. We've received. We've been born of the Spirit so that we can walk in all that You have for us, Lord. I thank You that all things pertaining to life and godliness have been given to us through You and Your Spirit. So, Father, I pray that You help us now as we go forth from here. Let us let that one-third Holy Ghost rise up. Let You live through us. Let You dominate our life, our physical life, our emotional life. Let You dominate our thoughts and our thinking. Let You inspire us with Your Word and encourage us and teach us and guide us and correct us and do all the things Your Word says it does. And let it change us, Lord, so that we become more and more like our Savior. that we live our life not just an outward expression of it, Lord, but it does come outward when we let the Spirit inside of us, let You come through us. So, Father, that's my prayer. Let You come through us this week. We release the Spirit of God in our life. We pray it, we thank You for it, and we say in Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. God is a good God.